Studio 360.
This hour, everybody loves to laugh, but could laughter make us healthier?
Sorry, this actually never happened to me.
Someone who studies laughter, both uncontrolled and otherwise, is the neuroscientist Sophie Scott. She is interested in exactly what happens physiologically when we laugh.
It does seem to completely overwhelm your motor system. You can't do anything else. You find yourself gasping for breath. You can't talk. It is trying to kill you. It's just squeezing air out of you. It is slightly sinister.
So how did you, as a neuroscientist, get started in this discipline?
Well, I've been working for, literally decades on how we express emotion with the voice. And I'm particularly interested in what are called nonverbal expressions of emotion, things like screams or yelps of surprise or disgusted sounds. They're very interesting and they're more like animal calls than they are like speech. But one thing I was really struck about was that all the emotions we were looking at were really negative. And I just thought that doesn't really describe my life. So I started looking at some more positive emotions, and hidden in there was laughter.
That's interesting. So when you started doing this, did neuroscientists go, Sophie, what are you doing?
Pretty much, yeah. I've had my work defaced by a colleague. I've no idea who it was. They wrote, is this science all over it? There's something about laughter that just seems really trite and stupid. I mean, like, it seems literally pointless to people that you would study it. And that's basically meant we have entirely ignored positive emotional experiences. So you could study psychology and neuroscience for your whole life, certainly in the UK, and never know that people fell in love with each other or found anything funny.
And similarly, as I have been thinking about laughter, laughter obviously can be provoked in many different situations and serve many kinds of voluntary and involuntary functions. So in that sense, it seems almost like not suited to modern science, where something is supposed to be about one thing. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing's ever simple with humans. And I think what's interesting, one of the things that's very interesting about laughter is, in some ways, pretty much everything we think we know about it, and this includes a lot of scientists, is wrong. So we think we do it a lot less than we do. We think it's linked with jokes and humour, and it is linked to jokes and humour. But actually, most of the time when you're laughing in a conversation with somebody, you're laughing to show that you know them.
Right.
You like them. You might even love them. You agree with them. You understand them. You're part of the same group as them. You're doing all this kind of affiliative work with laughter. So you might laugh if somebody says, oh, I'm going to miss my bus, because you understand what that means.
But then there's that kind of amazing laughter you see in YouTube clips of TV newscasters losing control.
I don't know what to do.
Are you okay?
I just started laughing and I couldn't stop.
Well, what causes that? Is it that the person is on television where they're really not supposed to laugh, and that makes them laugh more in a kind of self-fulfilling layering process?
There are many layers to it, and I think that's one of the reasons why we enjoy it. So very often, I don't know how it works in the US, but certainly the BBC really does not like its presenters laughing.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things we enjoy is the fact that they've got to keep going, and you can hear everything it's doing to their voice, and they can't sort of not make a noise. So every time they try to talk, you hear the laughter affecting them. Because once it's got that toehold in there, it will win. It will win a competition between talking and breathing and laughing. Laughter will win. And also, I guess, they wouldn't be doing it if they didn't like the people that were around them. So there's a very famous clip of two men trying to do a cricket broadcast in the UK, and they just keep making each other laugh helplessly.
Angus, for goodness sake, stop it.
Yes, Lawrence played extremely well.
And one of the things people enjoy about that, I think, is that if they didn't like each other, that wouldn't be happening.
Right.
You know, you're hearing friends.
Right.
And so, as you say, there's layer after layer after layer when you hear somebody or watch somebody desperately trying not to laugh on live TV and radio.
You've studied the differences neurologically between that kind of involuntary laughter that we've been talking about and I guess surely the more common voluntary laughter that happens.
Yep. Yep.
So when you look at the brain, what are the different things going on? Do those come from different sets of places in the brain?
So in terms of perception, there are huge differences in how your brain deals with spontaneous, authentic laughter versus more posed social laughter.
Brain judges your fake laugh versus your involuntary laugh. Yeah.
Exactly. What you see when people hear a laugh, the problem with the phrase fake is it makes it sound like it's bad, most of the time social laughter is really nice and we like it, and it's a very important skill to learn. What we see in the brain is there's actually more response to social laughter than there is to spontaneous laughter. There's lots of activation to spontaneous laughter, and it's strongly associated with auditory processing, probably because you hear sounds you never hear in any other context. But when you listen to social laughter, you get all these activations in brain areas associated with thinking about what other people think. And they're activated normally in very complex tasks where you ask people to work out problems about what somebody else knows. And here we're seeing them recruited just when you hear somebody laughing. And I think that's because when you hear somebody laughing spontaneously, it's unambiguous. There's no question that person has really lost it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you can kind of enjoy that. When you hear somebody going, you know that is a fake laugh at some level.
Right.
And you are trying to work out why that person is producing that behaviour.
How
interesting. There is an intention behind it. You know, maybe they're in pain. Maybe they're trying to cover up being embarrassed. Maybe they're trying to make somebody like them. Maybe they're trying to get out of a problem. You know, all this different stuff, that sort of stuff we do with social laughter. I think this is just a sign that we just keep coming back to with laughter, which is that it's never neutral.
Right.
It's always meaningful, and we're trying to work out what that meaning is.
Now, I have another scientific question, Doctor, which is, and I don't know if this has been studied, but one of the famous side effects from the time one is a teenager is you smoke marijuana, you ingest cannabis, is laughter, and uncontrollable laughter sometimes. Any speculation or data about the neurological basis for that?
I suspect that the main basis for it is actually that a lot of what's going on day to day, minute to minute, in your brain is trying to stop you from laughing, because there are many situations where it would not be appropriate to get completely hilariously giggly. You are actually suppressing it.
So it just disinhibits this thing we would be doing all the time if we could.
Probably, yes.
I love that idea that we're just laughing animals, and just we're just keeping it tamped down all the time.
Yeah, I suspect so. Yeah.
Huh. Now, in addition to studying this and being a scientist, you a few years ago started doing stand-up comedy.
I did. Yes, I'm hilarious.
I can tell.
I've been fielding a couple of emails from a TV producer who's interested in making a TV series about the search for the perfect sex toy. And such is the lure of brain imaging that they want to have brain images of people to determine how pleasurable the sex toys are. Rather than, I don't, just ask them. Anyway, no, but you don't get the glowing pictures. Don't get the glowing pictures.
Did that come after this began being this focus of your science?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, My involvement in this came from UCL, the university where I'm based in London, started something called Bright Club, where they get their academics to do stand-up comedy. And in fact, I'd gone along and advised them about laughter, and I thought, who would do this? I mean, who'd put themselves through that?
Right.
That's just awful. And then one of my senior male colleagues was going, have you done Bright Club, Sophie? You know, I did it, and I was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, you swines, you know, you asked him, you haven't even asked me. Mm-hmm. It was sheer professional jealousy. But it's also given me a whole different perspective on how laughter works. It's actually been incredibly helpful way of just thinking completely differently about laughter. So it's actually been very helpful for my science, I think.
And do you think, given your science, that that affected the way you tried to stand up in front of people and get laughs?
I don't. Well, not at first, because I realised at first I did all the mistakes everybody makes. You know, so the classic mistake that a rookie makes for stand-up comedy is they talk over the laughter. So you say something, the audience laughs, and you're so panicked,
right,
you just carry on anyway,
yes.
And they will stop laughing because they want to hear what you're saying.
And do you use like material from your science in your act?
Yes, I mean, no one's under any illusion that I'm a professional comedian. You know, they know I'm a scientist. They know I'm a professor at UCL, and they're very kind. But I found it a very interesting discipline. It's a completely different approach to writing talks, and I found it very helpful in terms of, you know, my wider scientific communication. So I did a TED talk last year, and there's no way I would have had the chutzpah to try and make it funny.
Sophie Scott, this has been a pleasure. I really, really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. Ha 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 ha.